Father, thank you for a brilliant morning, a brilliant day to get to know you even more. And what you're going to share with us again is going to just, it is such good news. And we want to thank you as you take us, as you teach us what it means when you speak about who has overcome this world. We who believe that Jesus is your son. And we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you by your Holy Spirit this morning to expand the revelation of your son, Jesus, that we may behold and that we may just, wow, God, this is truly good news. So we're asking that you will stir within us a passion and an understanding, a fire within us, that is so, so, so on fire to be able to share the incredible good news of yours. We will have the tremendous confidence as we know that it's your power that brings about salvation. And so we thank you for today. We want to thank you for just your grace over us this week. And we praise, thank you for what you're doing in our country, Lord God, and the things that are taking place. And it's so, so good to know that you are holy. You're not caught up in all of this. You are above it. And you are totally sovereign, totally in control of all things. And so this morning, as your children, as your family, we can find tremendous rest in just being your children, loved by you, Father, but with a mission to share the gospel, to share your good news to mankind. And so we ask this morning, Father, through your Holy Spirit, share with each and everyone's minister to us, those who need healing, those who need understanding, those who, whatever we need, Father, today, the encounter with you and with us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys. I think as a introduction, you know, the armor, when Paul writes about the armor of God, one of the pieces that he speaks about there is the helmet. And what is it called? The helmet of salvation. and I believe that one of the big things God is doing with us is he's demolishing with his truth strongholds of our mind. So that we understand the reality of the good news of God, what is salvation, and have a new way of thinking, have a new way of, or maybe not a new way, but a deeper and better understanding. But not only the deeper understanding, but a being established in a truth that is our starting point. This is how we think. This is what we really believe. And it'll become so solid within us. It's such a concrete foundation, such a rock of truth about what is God's salvation. And we live from this place. And that is why the helmet of salvation is a big part in understanding the incredible work of God through his son, Jesus Christ, what it means to have the salvation of Christ occupying our very mind, established in our mind, the way we think, the way we reason, the way we understand, the way we interpret life and the future and the past. And so this is part of what he's doing now. And so even as we share with one another, you will find there that that's what God's doing. Strongholds are going to be broken, the way we think and understand things, where we are confused. You will find over a period of time that confusion is going to be demolished, with truth and everything. So as we listen at what our Father's sharing with us, there's a grace that's comes with it there, empowering us to receive and empowering us to be able to take every thought captive, empowering us to be able to truly have the mind of Christ, which is the helmet of salvation, and really begin to, I think, become not only excited, but to live in that solid assurance of what took place when you and I got born again. What is the good news? What is salvation all about? And so we're going to continue more on that from that Romans chapter 1 portion this morning, because it is so much in there that we are going to look at. And so last week we started off with Romans chapter 1. And remember the theme for these couple of weeks is you and I learning. Remember, we're learning. We are being taught by the Holy Spirit how to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, how to walk in the fullness of this law of the Spirit of life. And so that is why the mind plays a big part, because remember, as we renew our mind, there is the transformation that takes place. So when we renew our mind about salvation, the transformation takes place within us, and we start to live in the reality of that transformation, from where we were to now the truth of what the gospel of God is all about. And I think we're going to learn so much more as we go on, because it's just so much that, that we don't yet quite understand yet. And that is why we go back to that series that we did a few weeks back there from Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 2, about the Spirit of the Lord and the sevenfold, functions of the Holy Spirit: the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the counsel, the might, the fear of the Lord, and all of these things, that it's recognizing and becoming very conscious of the Holy Spirit's work within us. And in that recognition, the moment we recognize, we're renewing our mind to the truth that the Holy Spirit in all his fullness dwells within us. And now as we recognize that what's happening, we're renewing our mind and we start to experience the transformation taking place within us. That is why faith is such a big part in receiving what our Father shares with us as throughout the days and weeks, months, whatever, in your quiet times and so forth. And so this is all part of it. And so when we looked here, let's just go back. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is writing and he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. And this is what we're looking at. It's the good news from God, God's good news to humanity, but not only for humanity, it's also for creation. And we'll get there maybe sometime this morning. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. And so we know that in the Old Testament, the gospel of God is all there already. When Christ came, it was revealed. It came to life, that which the prophets had prophesied and spoken about, and what's written over there. And so God had already announced the good news from the moment of the fall to Adam and Eve. He already pronounced the good news about the one that's going to crush the head of Satan. And so we see right from the beginning, this good news of God has always been there and he's never changed his mind. He has spoken and it's always there. And we're fortunate now, as the Spirit of God is helping us to really get a better understanding in the time that we're in. And so we go through that over there. And then we got to the place where we saw over there in verse 16. Well, let me just first go to verse 14. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. And then we started to get an understanding. Why was Paul so eager? What motivated him? What inspired him? What did he know that maybe we don't yet know? And so he starts to expand on. And so from actually, if you go from Romans chapter 1 verse 16 onwards, right through the rest of Romans, it's all such an explanation of why he's so eager and that this incredible power of God. And that so he shares there, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then to the Gentiles. And then he carries on, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And here, you'll see this is going to be such a big part in realizing why has God been speaking to us about what is faith, that simple belief. When we hear and we just simply respond and accept what he is saying, and that's the purity of this faith that is such an incredible, powerful gift that God gives to us as we hear. And so when we communicate the good news of God, the gospel of God, this is part of the power of God. It's this incredible God faith that is being released as well, for people to be able to know that God is real. And then it carries on, and then he says over here, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by the wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his internal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And so we see these two realities of this incredible truth of the gospel of God, and that brings salvation, and it's God's ability, God's power that does this. And in this gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed. And also we find over there that the wrath of God is being revealed. And so we have these two realities taking place in the lives, and we look at history and we see that. We look from the moment of the fall onwards there, we see there how the wrath of God is revealed against the godliness. So we have the flood, we have so many evidences of that taking place over there. Now, to understand and remember, I shared there that, and I used Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones's definition of salvation, where he said over there that salvation is where it's the deliverance of all the consequences of the fall and of sin. And I believe that it's even more than that. And I want to add creation to that. So I would say salvation is the deliverance of man and creation out of the consequences of the fall and of sin. And when we look, for instance, in Romans chapter 8, you know that famous portion over there where we see there about the reality of all creation is groaning. Now, there's a powerful insight over there as well. So if you want to know where we're going, this is part of this, the message of salvation. This is getting more into the fullness of the message. And so remember, let me just quickly read it over there. Paul writes over there, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And so here's a very important truth that we begin to understand: the power of salvation, the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in releasing mankind from the consequences of the fall and of sin. But also we see over here the reality for creation being released from its bondage, from that decay, from its frustration. Okay. And so we in this process of this unfolding, and it's going to be more and more evident as the years go on. But now in Colossians chapter 1, and I want to spend a few moments here this morning because it gives us a better understanding of this good news of God. Here we have a prayer that Paul is praying, and he's beginning to give an understanding of what Christ has done for mankind. He's showing us the reality of this deliverance, what salvation is about. And so he prays and we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Remember these seven functions of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, revelation, etc. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Remember Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, this is his operation within us. He is giving us understanding. He is giving us encouragement. He's giving us the strength. He's the one that's enabling us to have endurance and patience. He's the one that's enabling us to be able to have this incredible joyful reality in our lives and thankfulness. It's because of this law of the Spirit of life within us. And as I said, when we acknowledge and we accept this and we begin to take this as our life, this becomes so real to you and I. And it just begins to expand more and more. And so then he says here, and this is what I want to share here, to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. This is what we're talking about of salvation. This is the good news for mankind. In the moment Adam and Eve disobeyed, here we see the incredible good news being released and announced to Adam and Eve over there in Genesis chapter 3. And now we see this gospel, this good news that is concerning and through his son Jesus Christ, for he has rescued us. Now this word rescued is a beautiful word because it speaks about, you know, when you've been rescued, it's the same as the English, where you and I have been rescued from danger. We've been taken out of that. And that's what we're looking at over here, where we have been taken out of, we have been rescued out of the dominion of darkness. Remember, there's the law of sin and death. We have been taken out of that law. We have been taken out of that, and we have been placed into the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, now let me just carry on here, and we're going to go into this a little bit deeper. And so Paul writes and he shares over there, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Again, just quickly before we go into this, he brought us into, that word brought us into, it's the same word that is used when you take people from, just say, another country, and you bring them to another country. And that's exactly what's taken place. We were belonging into this, we were living in the dominion of darkness. We were taken out of that dominion of darkness. We were taken out of the dominion of the power of sin, of the power of the fall, of the power of Satan. Remember Satan, the one that controls the whole world, as we see there in 1 John chapter 5. We have been taken out of that. And we have been transferred. We have been placed into this kingdom of light, into this kingdom of Christ Jesus. So that is our citizenship. That's our dwelling place. And that's why it's so important for you and I to renew our mind to this, to accept this, and to actually get into agreement. Because a stronghold in our minds is that, man, we are so caught up in all of this, and, you know, and it's like victims, et cetera, et cetera. And we battle to live, the life that God has called us to live, because our minds are enslaved to the evil of the world and enslaved to what's happening and captured by all the events that are taking place. But God has taken us out of that. We're in the kingdom. And that's why in 1 John chapter 5, it also speaks about the fact over there that, again, who has overcome this world. And it's very clearly there, we have overcome this world by our faith, because we have believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and it's that incredible reality. So that's why we have been rescued out. So when we're speaking about salvation, this good news of God, we've got to begin to realize, but God, we are no longer living in that domain of darkness. We're not there anymore. We are now living in this rule, this kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. That's our position. That's our citizenship. That's where we live. And I cannot stress the importance of accepting this, because again, as we renew our mind, we are transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are transformed into the reality of this truth of who we are in Christ, our position in Him, the reality of being taken out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light. It's only as we really begin to really think differently about life, about our situations, that we begin to live in the reality of this incredible truth. And that's why I believe many, many of us as believers, we are seated with Christ, but yet we're not experiencing the truth. We battle and we caught up with all the news press of what's happening and et cetera, et cetera. And God is teaching us to know where we are, to know the domain that we are living in, to know the kingdom that we're living in, so that we can have the mind of Christ, and then we're able to be very effective in this dark world. And so this is just clearing our thoughts and this clearing our mind to having the helmet of salvation. So when we're speaking about the helmet of salvation, this is part of the understanding, part of the renewing of our mind. But wow, God, you've rescued me out of, you've rescued the body of Christ out of that dominion of darkness. Now, what is this dominion of darkness, etc.? Well, let's quickly go back, because remember last week we started to speak about what is life, because that was the question. And we need to understand this, because it can bring confusion. In John chapter 17, verse 3, when Jesus is praying and he says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So Jesus explains the reality of what this light is all about, what this life is all about. And so here we see before we were living in the darkness. Why? Because we were separated. We weren't part of this knowing God. We weren't part of knowing that he is the only true God. We weren't part of knowing how real Jesus is. So anything that is not in the reality of this intimate knowing God, this relational reality of God, that's in the darkness. So anyone outside of this reality of knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ is living in the darkness. Okay. The good news is that we are taken out of that and we are brought into eternal life. Faith, when we look at faith, the faith that God gives is a faith that brings us into the reality of this eternal life. That's how you know the difference between any other faith. So when you hear God speak to you, whatever he's been sharing you, what happens? God becomes real. You know he's real. You know he is the only real God. You know Jesus Christ. You see, it's relational. This faith is very relational. And that's the key. That's how you understand. That's why the righteous will live by faith. That's why all the time faith is such a big part for us as believers, because as we hear God speak, he's giving us his faith, and it's all about knowing him. It's all about knowing just how real he is. If we go back to when we were unsaved, we were not born again, when we still did not believe. We heard about God, et cetera, et cetera. God wasn't real. We may have had an intellectual belief, okay, maybe there's a God. But the moment came when we God spoke and we heard God and we responded by the faith he was giving, and God became real. See, this is now we were rescued out of darkness and we were brought into the kingdom of his son whom he loves. That what took place. This is the reality of salvation. And so when, for instance, when John speaks in 1 John and he speaks about this, he goes on and he speaks about Jesus Christ and he says, this is a message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Now that's important, because people, we've got to understand there that the light that we're talking about there is what Jesus spoke about, this eternal life. We are in that. So if we are still walking in the darkness, we're not in the light. You see, we haven't been rescued from the dominion of darkness yet. We haven't been delivered from the power of sin. We haven't been delivered from the consequence of the fall. We haven't been delivered from the authority that Satan has over mankind. Remember, Satan takes captive people to do his will. We're still under his influence. So we're still under the rule, under the domain of the total picture of darkness. The good news of God is that in his son, only in his son, he has the power. This gospel, this Jesus Christ, Jesus is the gospel of God. This is God's ability, God's divine power, and nothing else, because no man can take us out of the dominion of darkness. Only God can do that. And so the good news is that God has made a way for us to come out of that darkness into this incredible light by his power. I was praying on, I think it was Friday morning, and I was just looking at the consequences of the fall and the dominion of darkness over the world and the effect and everything. And in a vision, I witness the incredible power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the blood of Christ. And I could see not only humanity set free, but creation set free. And it is such a beautiful reality that we have creation witnessing the death and resurrection of Jesus. Creation is watching this whole event taking place. The angels are watching. The demonic are watching. Those saints that have died before us are all watching. Everybody is witnessing this incredible event, and the power the hope, the glory, the good news that at last, there's a way to be delivered from the dominion of darkness. There's a way to be delivered from the consequences of Adam and Eve's disobedience. It's come into play. It's now become a reality. And now you and I have the incredible joy of sharing this powerful good news that mankind can now be set free from the dominion, from the rule, from the authority of this incredible life outside of the eternal life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is part of the incredible good news that you and I share. Now, we go back and I want to just share a few more scriptures over here quickly. In 1 John chapter 3, listen to this now, because salvation is the deliverance of the consequences of the fall. And John writes here in 1 John chapter 3, and he gives an incredible truth about the children who have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, because now we walk in the light. We have fellowship with him who is in the light. You see, so all the time we see that reality of what it is to be in the kingdom of light. Let me just quickly read this over there. But if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. What is eternal life? It's this fellowship. It's this oneness with God. It's this intimacy with God. It's knowing God, very, very real. And so when we've got that, we know we're in the light. You know that you're born again. You know you have eternal life. You know you've got an incredible future waiting for you. You know it. It's very real. And that, and so we have fellowship with God another. You see, we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a reality. Now we carry on, and in chapter 3 of that 1 John chapter 3, amazing truth. And so John continues and he speaks over there about that in God there is no sin, in Christ there is no sin, and no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. And this is the habitual sin, okay? Because as we looked at about the new nature, etc. But look at this, and this is why this is so important. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Why? Because then that one is still under the dominion of darkness, still under the dominion of the power of sin, still under the dominion of the consequences of the fall. See, and so that is why they will continue to sin, and that, but we've been rescued out of it. We've been taken out of that. We've been taken out of the power of sin. We've been taken out of the dominion of sin. We've been taken out of that, of the power that Satan had, over our lives. We've been taken out of the consequences of the disobedience. We're taken out of that. We are free of that. So when, that's 1 Galatians chapter 5, that in Christ we have a freedom, and this is salvation. All of what salvation is all about. We've been taken. We're free of all of that. It's not our dwelling place anymore. We've been taken out of that. There. Now to carry on. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin have either seen Him or knows Him. Because they haven't been born again. They haven't entered into this eternal life. So when you and I speak and share the gospel, God's power is at work so that people can believe. People can know that God is real, because God will speak to them and they are then able to have a choice to respond to all of us. But look at this, verse 7. Dear children, do not be led astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. What is salvation? We have been delivered. We've been taken out of this incredible power that the enemy had over our lives. We've been taken out of that power of sin. Now look at this. The reason, this is key. The Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. What was the devil's work there? Jesus came and destroyed that work. See, what is salvation? The deliverance from all the consequences of the fall and of sin. So what the devil did there in the Garden of Eden, Jesus destroyed that work. This is salvation, guys. He came and he has destroyed that work of the enemy. We as a body of Christ, when we renew our mind to this, we start to walk in the authority of Jesus. We start to see the kingdom of God manifesting. But we cannot manifest the kingdom of God if we are not understanding and proclaiming and living in the reality of the good news of God. Okay, it must be from within. Must be alive, because it's the Spirit that gives life. It's we want to release the living waters from us, and so that is why it's so important to renew our mind, so that there's this incredible transformation taking place, freeing us from strongholds of what we believe is salvation, what is not salvation, etc., and to just be open now to grow into the fullness of the revelation of the good news of God. And so the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed, God's nature, remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Powerful. This is how we know who are the children of God and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So it's very clear when we look at the dominion of darkness in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, we see the reality of that dominion. We've been taken out of that. It is the power of the gospel. It is the power of God. As you and I share this good news, people hear. And the death and resurrection of Jesus is the power of God for salvation. And so as we communicate this good news, people hear it, God's power is at work, and people then have the incredible way of coming out of that dominion that held him, out of that dominion that of that control of sin, and then they enter into this incredible life of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the discipling takes place, on how to live and how to walk in this life of the Spirit, and to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's the discipling part over there. But our starting point is to understand that we've been taken out of that. We've been rescued from that over there. And I think one of the big things that first takes place is we are freed from guilt. Remember in Romans chapter 3, and we see over there when Paul is speaking to the people over there in his letter, and he says over there in verse 9, in chapter 3, verse 9, what shall we conclude? Do we have any advantage? No, not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And we know that famous scripture in that portion, and then in verse 23 over there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we know there that if we look at Adam and Eve, straight away, when they disobeyed, they experience guilt for the first time. That's why the head. They experience guilt. They now knew, because they had eaten from the knowledge of good and evil, they now knew that what they had done was not good. It was evil. They had violated the law of God. When you break the law of God, you're guilty. And all mankind, because of Adam, now all mankind, that's our reality. And I think the first thing that we discover when we get born again, when we taken out of that dominion of darkness, is that you and I experience the incredible freedom from guilt. Because now in Christ, there's no condemnation. He has forgiven us. We have been forgiven of our sin through his son, Jesus Christ. And we have accepted that. And straight away, we realize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember Hebrews chapter 9, where it's only the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse the consciences of mankind. And so that's the freedom that you and I have now. That now as we realize, God, we've been taken out of the dominion all our life. We've been outside of this incredible life of knowing you and experiencing you. Now through Christ Jesus, as you shared with us the good news and we responded by your grace that came and your faith that you've given us, because it's all by grace, as we have responded to this incredible good news that you've just shared with us through somebody, I'm full of joy. I'm not hiding. You are real. See, there's that freedom, and all of us experience that tremendous freedom from that guilt, because we were all living under the power of guilt, under the dominion of guilt. That's part of the reality of the fall, because they had eaten from the tree and now they knew what was good and what was evil. They understood that reality of guilt. You and I are free of that. And that is why it's such a joy to live in that freedom of this wonderful relationship with God, knowing that through Christ, he's not holding anything against us. It's part of the renewal of the mind because of the strongholds. If I haven't performed, I feel guilty. And therefore, I've got to hide from God a bit over there. Well, I've got to go and do this. I've got to go do that in order not to feel guilty so that I can just come and say hello to God. You know, that kind of stuff that happens when we don't understand the incredible message of salvation. So as we conclude this morning, just in a nutshell over here, the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work. And you and I are involved in this incredible message of setting the captives free. You and I are involved together with the Holy Spirit, because it's by the power of God as you and I commit. And so within us, he's stirring up a confidence. When the world is so evil, when wickedness is increasing, what's happening over there? Now we as believers are getting our voice back. We as believers are understanding, but God, you have got good news. You've got good news. Jesus, you've come and you have destroyed the enemy's work. You have made a way so that man can come out of that dominion and come into this kingdom, come into this eternal life. And so now we are finding that there is a boldness, there's a confidence within us to know that this gospel of God is the power of God for salvation. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not hiding from the gospel anymore. We're not saying it doesn't work because there's so much taking place from the pulpit side that's trying to water down the gospel, that's trying to dilute this gospel there. And that's why you got all the seeker-friendly stuff, all the stuff coming into play and all that there. And just really, God's bringing us back with this message that got the power of God to communicate the message, God's good news, that sets the captives free. God's good news in his son Jesus, that is the one to take us out of that dominion, to break the power of sin, to break the control that Satan has over our lives, and for us to be a kingdom of people, a kingdom of priests. That's you and I. And we're growing in that awakening now. We're walking in that authority more and more. And you and I, we're getting our voice back, and we've got our voice back. And so we proclaim the true gospel, the full gospel, not the nice gospel. We complain the good news. We're not shy of speaking about the wrath of God. We're not sure about speaking the power of sin. We're not sure about that. We're not people that are addicted to whatever they're addicted to. We're not shy in getting them back. Let me share the gospel, what the gospel is all about, because it's only the gospel that what Christ has done is able to deliver you from the dominion of sin, that dominion give you a new nature. And so we get back to that fundamental truth and not try and deal with the symptoms and all that. They're getting to the root causes all the time, because that's what the gospel deals with. So yeah, so it's so exciting to know that we've got our voice back, and there's authority in our voice now because of the true gospel. So may the Spirit of God open up more and more what the good news of God is all about in His Son Jesus, and really for us to grasp that there. Listen to this one more scripture. I love this scripture. It's that one where Paul writes about the cross and the resurrection as a power of God for salvation. But look at this about our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. This is the good news. This is God's good news. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that's the incredible truth about this gospel. Christ is the good news. God's good news to mankind is Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. Okay. He is the wisdom of God. And praise God that we've been placed into Him. So as we have communion this morning, I think it's just an amazing time of celebrating God. I'm going to play a song. It's based on Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's encounter of God, and in the train fills the temple, and that ends. It's just the song to just remind us of the power of the blood of Jesus and saying yes to Him. So as we have communion. So Father, thank You once again for just the joy of knowing that You've taken us out of a dominion of darkness and all that entails, the consequence of the fall. That's the realm of darkness from then onwards. We out of that, Jesus, You came and destroyed the devil's work. And we understand when we see how in Your death and the cross, how we see how there the incredible work of You destroying the devil's work. We want to thank You. We want to thank You that even now, although it's years it took place, in a sense, by the Holy Spirit, we can still somehow witness that event in the Spirit. It's so real to us. So we want to thank You, Jesus, for Your incredible death, Your incredible resurrection. Thank You that You have destroyed the work of the devil so that we can have life. We can enter into a relationship with the true living God through You, Jesus. So we partake with the communion, your body and with Your blood, Lord Jesus, celebrating eternal life, celebrating our deliverance, celebrating salvation, celebrating this new life that we have in You, celebrating the incredible commission You've given us, celebrating how we can be so partnering with You, with the Holy Spirit in sharing the good news, celebrating the gift that You've given to us to be able to operate in whatever the gifts are that demonstrate the life of the Spirit, to celebrate, to demonstrate that You have destroyed the works of the enemy. So we thank You as You just stir up and You enable us to recognize the gifts so that we stir up the gifts within us, as Paul spoke to Timothy about stirring up the gifts. And so we want to thank You for this through You, Jesus. We give You the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen.